This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
.903 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your state farm insurance agent in Litchfield. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Garrell's Auto Body in Litchfield. And by DC Waste and Recycling. And on this Saturday morning, we join at WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Welcome to Sports Saturday on the first Saturday of June, and it's the last day of the high school sports calendar as the state baseball and softball tournaments contested today, the 2A and 3A girls soccer state tournaments contested today, and they will hand out the final hardware of the season. And David, Terry's back in the hospital, and it's not lost on me that when the high school football season started in late August, the first week of the high school football season is when Terry went in for his cancer surgery. Mm-hmm. He was in surgery for 18 or 19 hours that day, and obviously he was then in the hospital for 88 consecutive days following that, and now here we are.
Didn't he have another surgery, like, shortly after that?
Yeah, not a major one, but yeah. Well, yeah. We say not a major one, but at that point, everything
there's
he
no
was going through
minor
is major. That's exactly right. But here we are now on the last day of the high school sports season, and Terry is back in the hospital. He's back at Memorial. He's been dealing with some complications from obviously what he's been going through, and the doctors couldn't get it pinned down what the problem was. So once he was readmitted to Memorial a few days ago, they were finally able to find a very serious infection. And from what we've been told, major infection that when you go in and see him after you leave, you have to wash your hands thoroughly. That's the type of infection that he is dealing with. But they've got him on antibiotics now. They're pumping more fluids in him because he had gotten dehydrated a couple of weeks ago, so they were dealing with that whole situation. But it sounds like at least they now have it pinned down that it was an infection, so that's progress,
right,
at least. But he's going to be in the hospital for several days here coming up, so just continue to send your thoughts and your prayers to Terry and his entire family. And, David, we do have a website set up, totetough.com. Is when we had the fundraiser for Terry in early April, which was a wild success, and we thank everybody who was part of that, raised a bunch of money for Terry and his family and his medical bills. But that night, the volunteers, we had Tote Tough shirts on, and we had a lot of people asking, hey, how can I get one of those shirts? Well, now we have an avenue for them to do just that.
Yes, we do. It's there, like you said, they're available at totetough.com. That's T-O-D-T, tough.com, T-O-U-G-H. Because I know some people...
Is there another way to spell tough?
Well, some people may think T-U-F-F just as a fun
way. That's fair.
Way. That's
yeah, right.
Tough is... It's the actual way to spell tough, but sometimes... Some
spelling, right, like donut.
Right, or night, N-I-T-E.
Right. I got you. I cut you off. Yes, you're right.
Right, yes. So T-O-D-T-T-O-U-G-H.com, totetough.com. And we thought they were just going to be T-shirts like we wore at the benefit available, but there's actually more than just T-shirts available. I won't say everything's available. I want you to go online, go to the website, check out what's available. I don't have the exact prices about what's available, but some good stuff on there, and all the proceeds will be going towards Terry.
And, I mean, he still has medical bills to deal with from the first time. Now he's back in the hospital. Just an ongoing problem here, obviously, for Terry. And the deadline is Friday, June the 15th. So
right. You
have a couple of weeks here to get online, get your order placed, and 100% of the money from these shirts is going straight to Terry and his family.
Right. No, that's absolutely right. I think because the deadline's Friday, June 15th, they're going to take the next week after that to work on the shirts, and then they'll have them available for pickup at, I should say, it's at Creative Flair in Litchfield is who's handling all this. I have to give a huge shout-out to
absolutely.
Renee, because She's done very well, done incredible. I like Renee. We used to work together and we're friends, and yeah, she does a great job.
Oh, they do great things over there.
Absolutely. They helped out with the Faith Hartzell fundraiser, Keeping the Faith. They've helped out with Grace Herschelman's fundraiser as well. They've with Piesold Strong, with Leighton Piesold, who's also in the hospital with his own cancer battle right now. They've done a fantastic job.
And, you know, Terry has spent, I mean, he's been at WSMI for over 40 years now. Obviously grew up in Raymond, went to Lincolnwood. He's been around this area. He's been a fixture in this wonderful community for his entire life. And he has spent his, especially adult life, helping other people. All those events that you mentioned, or all those different terrible things that have happened to all the wonderful people in our area.
Yeah.
Terry has always been willing and able to go out and help when asked, and sometimes when not even asked. He's just willing, always willing to volunteer his time to do anything that he can. I don't know how many times I've heard Terry tell someone, just call the station, and I will put you in contact. I will pass your information along. So, I mean, he's such a selfless man. He has never been about Terry, you know, and you think about a guy who is as well known as he is for the job that he does. There's no ego with Terry. Terry has never made it about himself. You know, a lot of people who have listened to Terry make it about Terry because that's how good he is at his job. That's how he has touched people through the years. I've told the stories before about when you go to a basketball game with Terry, it has always amazed me how many people, and we're talking about a wide age range here because he's been doing it for 40 years, they come up to Terry, he knows their names, and they have specific stories about moments that Terry has impacted their lives. And a lot of times, yeah, he called their games, but it's usually stuff that has nothing to do with the ball game that he called. You know, it was a community event that he did. It was just the fact of remembering their name, just those little things that he has just always done. And he's never looked for any type of congratulations or any type of notoriety. He does it because it's the right thing to do, and he just cares about people.
No, that's exactly right. Performing math, being the masters of ceremonies for a bunch of different events and everything, and you're absolutely right. So we wish him speedy recovery and all the best in this
battle. Right. So this is all of our opportunities to pay it forward,
right,
as they say.
Right, because I know we only had limited seating at the benefit.
And we had to turn people away.
Right. So if you weren't able to, this is your opportunity. And we hope to open this up again at some point later on this year as well. Like, I hope this is not the only T-shirt fundraiser or clothing item fundraiser we have. But for right now, until Friday, June 15th, you can go to totetough.com and purchase a Tote Tough item, and all the profits will go to Terry, because some of the proceeds will go to actually making the stuff, but the rest of it will go to...
Yeah, nothing's free.
Right. There's cost involved in actually making the items, but all the profit will go to Terry.
That's the way to put it.
Right.
But totetough.com, you have until June 15th this go around to get your order placed. Please go to totetough.com, check out the selection. As David mentioned, they have a variety. They got long sleeves, they got a lot of different stuff on there just besides T-shirts. Mm-hmm. And it'll be Tote Tough, that'll be what it is, and it's such a perfect moniker, I guess, for Terry, because the dude is tough as nails.
Yep.
And his attitude and his outlook through this whole process has really been inspirational. I mean, because this has been a brutal, brutal fight that he's been dealing with now for the better part of 3 years. There was less than 2 years between his first surgery and his second surgery. And the second surgery was obviously a lot harder than the first one. The recovery was very, very tough on Terry and his family. And he continues to fight. He continues to have that amazing positive outlook. I have never met anybody that has the type of outlook on life that Terry has. You know, around here we'll always hear the safety of the free world is not at stake. Mm-hmm. The sun will come up tomorrow. And that's always in relation to work stuff. You know, like if you make a mistake and you just, oh, I can't believe I did that. Hey, man, the safety of the free world is not at stake. He's always had the perspective of what really matters in life, and that is family, friends, and community. Mm-hmm. And so in this time, this tough time for the Tote family, please go to totetough.com. Help out any way that you can. And as David said, all the profits go directly to the Totes to help offset these massive medical bills that continue to pile up.
And the more items that are purchased, the cheaper it costs to make the stuff. Cost is lower, so more money, more profits.
There you go. That's how it works. That's a perfect thing to get out there. Yeah. So, totetough.com. You have till Friday, June the 15th. But please get on there today, right now. Make an order. Check it out. And help our friend and your friend, the great Terry Tote.
That's right.
So we're going to take a break. We are going to talk sports today. Obviously, the state baseball tournament is going on. Nokomis came up a couple of wins shy of the state tournament. They bowed out a week ago today to Valmeyer in the sectional final. Valmeyer will play for the 1A state championship this morning. Actually, that game is probably underway right now, as it was a 9 o'clock start this morning up in Peoria for the 1A championship game. They will face Aurora Christian. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk to Nokomis head baseball coach Brian Pisco about yet another phenomenal season for Nokomis. We will do that when Sports Saturday rolls on.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. We're going to make contact with Brian Pisco here momentarily, get his thoughts on the Nokomis baseball season as they bowed out in the sectional final last Saturday to Valmeyer. I think 4-2 was the final in that ball game there. And Valmeyer playing for the state championship in Class 1A today. That game is scoreless as they play in the bottom of the first inning. Valmeyer facing Aurora Christian in the 1A baseball title game. In the 2A title game, that'll go at 11 o'clock this morning at Dozier Park in Peoria. Defending champ Totopolis will face Spring Valley Hall. In the softball state tournament at the Eastside Center in East Peoria, Williamsville yesterday lost to the defending champion Beecher 5-2. The Bullets committed 4 errors, and then Beecher put up 3 runs in the 5th inning, 4 hits and an error in that frame, as Beecher downed the Bullets 5-2. So Beecher, the defending 2A softball champions, they will be playing this morning at 11 o'clock against Taylor Ridge Rock Ridge. The 1A softball title game, Goreville against Windsor Stu Strauss. Goreville looking to defend their 1A championship as well. We're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Nokomis baseball coach Brian Pisco. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to have you on. And Brian, you have built, everyone thinks when they think Nokomis, obviously they think about basketball, and there's been a ton of success there. But what you've done with the Nokomis baseball program over the years has been fantastic. How would you sum up the season you just completed?
Well, a little surprising. I knew we were going to be pretty good, but I didn't realize this good because we started 4 freshmen last year. But they really came around. We were in every game all year, 21-4. Our pitching was very good with Chaucy, Sobel, and Herb Street. And we had 5 guys hit over 360, and we were very solid defensively. So it was very enjoyable. Come up a couple wins short of what we wanted, but we still had a great year.
And when you look at that game a week ago, coming in, that Valmeyer team, they had really not either allowed 0 runs or just 1, and there is Nokomis sitting there with a lead in the middle of that ball game. Just kind of take us through that ball game and just as it evolved, your thoughts.
Well, Carter Sobel had been just outstanding the second half of the year, and we knew from they'd been scoring in double figures, I don't know how many games in a row, and so we knew, you know, we had a big hill to climb, but his he was so good. But he couldn't find his curveball. Mm. And he still managed to get through the game, you know, pitching very well. He didn't have his, you know, he had his C game, but against those guys, you know, how good they've been, he still threw well. We were just trying to, you know, we knew they had very, you know, a lot of very good pitchers, so it was going to be tough. But I thought, you know, we played well. We had a chance down to our last out, so.
And really, as That's all you can ask for as a coach, to give yourself, you go to that bottom, go to the seventh inning with a chance. You like that.
Yeah, and, you know, the first game of the regionals, we were down to our last out and came back and won. So, well, the thing to hurt about the Vollmer game is you knew the next game, whoever won was going to be a huge favorite.
Right.
Which you can't say very often in postseason, especially that deep into the playoffs. So, you know, that kind of hurt a little bit, too.
As you look back at Carter Sobel, obviously at 6'8", he has to be quite the intimidating presence when he's on that mound.
I think him and the team, we kind of found out how we were in about the middle of the season when we played T-Town. Mm-hmm. Everything kind of came together, and he got a little unlucky, and they beat us, but we played him toe-to-toe. And as a pitcher, he found his location, he found his curveball, and, you know, to pitch against those guys and go toe-to-toe, we knew, hey, you know, maybe we got something here.
Confidence in baseball is such an important thing, and like you said, when you can stand the test against the top list, you think, hey, we can play and beat anybody in the state.
Yeah, and then his next outing, he beats the Sangamo champs, New Berlin, when he one hits them, you know. So we really felt pretty confident, and then we got Chaucy and Herb Street right behind him, so we really felt good going into postseason.
And, Brian, you mentioned you had four freshmen last year, obviously, so a lot of good talent coming back, but it's always almost rough in some ways to just say, oh, yeah, we're going to be good next year because we have all this talent, because not everybody on the team is coming back for next season.
Yeah, we lose 3 4-year lettermen, Chaucy, Engelman, and McDowell. So that's, you know, our 1, 2, and 3 hitters, you know, our captains, the core of our team. So that's going to be, you know, very tough to replace, but we started 5 sophomores this year and a freshman, so we still got a good core coming back.
That's a good place to start, isn't it? No one's going to be feeling
Absolutely.
Sorry for McComas.
No.
Brian, as you look at those seniors that you're losing, not only were they phenomenal baseball players, but across the sports spectrum at Nokomis, they had phenomenal careers.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, obviously in basketball, and the Engelman boy was out last year with 5 surgeries on his arm. Mm. And he's going to play football at Illinois Wesleyan. And one of the toughest kids, you know. He's not very big, but he's strong and he's tough. And so he's going to play football at Illinois Wesleyan. And all 3 of those boys in the last 10 to 12 years has put 60, 70 games of baseball in the summer, you know. So they've put a lot of work into it, and that's what you need, you know. And the more kids you have playing in the summer relates to a lot of wins during the spring.
And, you know, you always hear about coaches really talk about, I don't want a kid just playing one sport. I want them playing multiple sports throughout their high school careers because it helps you in every sport you play.
Yeah, I mean, the college coaches that I've had contact me about the players over the last few years, that's one of the first things they ask is, do they play a lot of sports? You know, they want them playing other sports. They want them competitive. You know, that's the first thing they always ask.
And I'm curious, Brian, like, how have you, with Coach Kimbrough, balanced your summer work between getting the basketball in, getting the baseball in? Because there's only so many hours in the day, so many days in the week.
Yeah, and at the small school, if you don't work together, you're just killing each other. And so what we've done in the summer is the first 3 weeks, we play basketball. We have open gyms in the morning, and then we go to Father's Day weekend. We go to the U of I. We play about 12 games in 3 days, and then basketball's over. And what we did there is we kind of went with, instead of quantity, we've kind of went with quality. You know, commit to 10 open gyms. Commit to that one weekend, and then you go, you know, you look free to go play your baseball. So it's worked out well for both sports.
Absolutely, and you've had the success in both sports consistently to where that's an easy concept, I would imagine, for the kids to buy into.
Yeah, and you know, they go out of one season into the next, and me and Coach Kimbrough pretty much have the same philosophy, so it's an easy, you know, transition for them.
And neither one of you guys asks too much more than, give it your all every single time you come out. And if you do that, you'll live with the result.
Yeah, we preach that game one. You know, we're playing Edinburgh. You treat that just like the regional championship, just like the sectional. You know, no different. And I think that prepares you down the line if you take every game that way.
I imagine you're rooting for Valmeyer today?
Yes, I am. Yep. Absolutely. And T-Town.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you wind up, well, you had four losses on the year, and if two of them wind up being to the state champs, my goodness gracious, Coach.
That feels pretty good.
Absolutely. Coach, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Congratulations on a great year, and we look forward to next season, Brian.
Oh, thank you guys for everything, and just a shout out to Tito.
Yes.
And hope everything works well for him. Our thoughts and prayers are with him.
Absolutely. Thank you, Coach Pisco.
Thanks.
Brian Pisco, the head coach of Nokomis. And, David, when you think about little old Nokomis, year in, year out, they're always, well, I shouldn't say always, but most of the time, they're the last local basketball team standing. And they continue to make deep postseason runs in baseball. And that's the, to me, that's always the hardest, the most tricky sport to make a deep run consistently in, because there's so many variables that go into a baseball game.
Well, we know that, obviously, we know so much about them, and we know how good they're going to be each year, even if it may not look like on paper going into the year that they have much coming back. However, I'm pretty sure most schools in their class outside of this immediate area, whenever they see like a draw and a postseason matchup coming up, and they see, oh boy, we have to face Nokomis,
you know, that's
they know.
Yeah, that's exactly right, David. Because, you know, we do the same thing here. Like, we follow our local teams, like, you know, T-Town's in their draw. But you're exactly right. Outside the area, especially if you're in basketball, you don't want to be in Nokomis' regional.
No.
It's not going to end well for you. And a lot of that does go over to baseball as well. It's like, oh, boy, we're going to have to deal with Nokomis.
No, that's exactly right. Even Valmeyer, coming off of a state runner-up last year, probably saw, boy, if we run into Nokomis in the sectional, this could be trouble.
Well, and Coach Pisco mentioned it. They were putting up double-digit runs consistently, and Nokomis holds them, I think 4-2 was the final.
Yeah, and they hadn't allowed a run in postseason play.
Right.
I mean, you can say what you want about the competition they played. I don't think they played bad competition. They're in the postseason. I mean, at some point when you get as deep as they were, for them to still not allowing a run until the sectional championship game, that's impressive.
I don't care who you're playing. If you don't do that, that's impressive. If you go to the state tournament back-to-back years, that's impressive. That speaks highly of the program you have. But, yeah, Coach Pisco mentioned it. Four losses on the year, one to Valmeyer. Mm-hmm. One to Totopolis, both playing for state championships today. So half their losses could be to the 1A and 2A state champs. That is truly remarkable.
Yes.
Got an update of what's going on in the 1A final between Valmeyer and Aurora Christian?
It is 1-0. Aurora Christian leads Valmeyer at the end of the second inning. So they're headed into the top of third. Aurora Christian leads Valmeyer 1-0. In 1A softball, it is in the top of the second inning, and Stu Strauss leads Gorville 3-0.
All right. Gorville is your defending 1A champion. For the second straight year, Gorville sent both their baseball and softball teams to the state tournament. So they've had some fun here in early June the last couple of years in Gorville.
No, that's right. And Stu Strauss actually is who?
Windsor Stu Strauss, David.
Okay, I'm sorry. Windsor Stu Strauss.
Don't shortchange Windsor.
Yeah, I apologize. They defeated Nokomis, I believe, in the regional championship. Regional semi? I think it was the regional championship in softball. I think that's what it was.
Well, we need to get a break.
Yeah.
You can look that up during the break, and we'll see if you're right.
I know. They played one of our area teams in this postseason.
If you're right, we'll say nothing. If you're wrong, I'm going to destroy you when Sports Saturday returns following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and I was correct, Tim Mize. They did defeat Nokomis in the 1A regional championship, and that was in Nokomis, actually.
So I don't get to destroy you?
You don't get to destroy me.
But I'd like to destroy you, David. You're taking away all my fun. Oh, David, he's usually right. More times than not, he's right on that type of stuff.
Well, that may not be accurate. I may not be right more times than not. I get my fair share right, and then I get my fair share wrong.
Don't we all, huh?
60% of the time.
You're right every time. That's exactly right. That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. So, yeah, Stu Strauss defeated Nokomis in the regional championship game. That was at Nokomis, I believe, for the softball. So, if you're Nokomis softball and you lose in the regional championship, not bad to lose to the team that's playing for the state championship.
Oh, no. Any time you play for a regional championship in any sport, you've had a successful season.
Right. Right.
The soccer tournament will wrap up today as well. That's girls soccer in Class 2A. Obviously no local competition here, but Wheaton St. Francis beat Lamont yesterday 2-0. Arlington Heights St. Viator over Normal Community West 1-0. So the 2A girls soccer state championship has St. Francis taking on St. Viator. In Class 3A, Barrington beat Naperville North 1-0 and Winnetka New Trier over Tinley Park Andrew 4-0. So your 3A girls soccer state championship will have Barrington taking on Winnetka New Trier. David, I have to run into Terry's office and get some paperwork.
So you want me to tell some jokes?
Yes!
I can't exactly do that. But I can talk a little Cardinals baseball for you because that happened last night. Yes, in case you've kind of been bored and disappointed with the Cardinals baseball season, much like a lot of fans around the area. Yes, they still are playing, and you heard the game on our airwaves last night. They got shut out to the Pittsburgh Pirates. That score was 4-0. And the Pittsburgh Pirates actually do have 8 shutouts on the year, and that leads everyone in baseball. So I guess you can say, okay, tip your cap, of course, to Jameson Taillon.
Yeah, tip their cap. They spend so much time tipping their cap to the opponent's pitchers, their elbow's going to go out.
Yeah.
Elbows. They got tipping cap elbow.
Well, you remember, I can't remember who it was. Julian Tavares, I think, had it, but there are other pitchers who had, like, the pine tar on the tip of
right.
the hat. The Cardinals are going to get, like, wear marks on that same spot.
The bill's going to just fall off.
Yeah.
At some point, you're not facing great pitching every night. Your offense just isn't getting it done. But we'll see what happens. They scored 5 runs in the ninth the other night to win it. Got shut out last night. Back at it today, 1220, AM 1540, and FM 106.9. David, I had to go retrieve the South Central Conference All-conference baseball and softball teams. I know. See, that Terry would never have that happen. He always so organized, that man. It's amazing how organized Terry is. He has everything exactly where it should be. Me, not so much. I got papers strewn all about. It's just a mess. But I have in front of me the all-conference baseball team for the South Central. There was a lot of good baseball played in the South Central Conference this year. The 3 hurdlers that were on the first team were Brock Seymour, Southwestern. He's a senior. Sophomore Devin Ray from Staunton and junior Kyle Dixon from Carletonville. Kyle Dixon had an unbelievable year on the mound for Carletonville.
I think he parlayed that into an offer from Southern Illinois Carbondale.
That sounds right. So hopefully he can continue his ways, and obviously he'll have a monster year coming up on the football field in the fall. The first team catcher was Nathan Casey from Vandalia, and then your infielders, Greenville's Drew Fry, Hillsboro's Griffin King, Staunton's Nick Yates, Southwestern's Luke Galecki, and Vandalia's Garrett McNary. The 3 outfielders on the first team for the South Central Conference, Alex Schreiber of Hillsboro, Jack Little from Southwestern, and Staunton's Griffin Bianco. And then the 2 designated hitters slash utility men that made the first team, Christian Moss from Greenville and Braden Wells from Roxana. He's just a freshman. You have a freshman from Roxana and then Devin Ray, the sophomore from Staunton, the only underclassman to be named first team all-conference baseball in the South Central for 2018. As far as the softball all-conference team is concerned for the South Central, your 2 first-team pitchers, Sidney Hendricks of Gillespie and Kai Hanner of Hillsboro. And, David, you saw both of those young ladies square off in that regional championship game.
I did. I saw them play in the regional championship game. I saw them play in a regular season game, too, and both were very different outcomes. In the first game, Kai for Hillsboro dominated the Gillespie bats and didn't really have to rely too much on the defense, and Hillsboro won. I think that game was like 9-1 or 9-2, something like that in the regular season. And then when the postseason came around, it was just a rough first inning defensively for the Toppers, and they fell behind. They fell behind 8-0. I don't believe all those runs came in the first inning, but they fell behind 8-0, worked their way back to 8-4, but couldn't climb all the way back.
That's a big hill.
Yeah. A lot, and Sidney Hendricks pitched well in both games too. I mean, the first game where they lost, Gillespie lost 9-2. I mean, that was not an indictment on how Sidney was pitching. It just eventually, I mean, Hillsboro did a good job working counts and getting to her.
Well, softball happened.
Yeah.
Just like baseball can happen.
Right. For the first three or four innings, it was a close game between Gillespie and Hillsborough, and then I'm talking the regular season matchup, and then around the fifth inning is when everything just fell apart.
Sydney, of course, completed her senior season at Gillespie. Kai will be back next year for her senior season for the Toppers. The first team conference, all-conference catcher was Mackenzie Casarda from Gillespie. And then on the infield, you got Riley Jarman of Gillespie, Lizzie Luttrell from Litchfield, Abby Stallholt of Roxana, and Molly Novak of Southwestern. And all four of those young ladies are juniors, so they're all coming back next year. First team outfielders, Allie Clay of Gillespie, Katie Shockey of Hillsborough, and Macy Wilderman of Southwestern. We certainly hope that Katie Shockey can get completely healed up, and she was involved in a car accident. She had to miss the regional game, so we certainly hope that Katie can make a full and speedy recovery.
And that might have made a difference in the regional championship game, too, not having her bat and her glove out in center field.
Didn't help.
No, it did not.
The designated player slash utility player on the first team was freshman Sydney Baumgartner from Southwestern. You recognize that name.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Somewhere from Southwestern.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's any relation. There has to be, right?
One would think.
It's not Smith, so.
Smythe. David.
I apologize.
Now, the all-conference soccer team also released for the South Central Conference. And on the first team, you had Taylor Wills of Carthenville, Paige Niemeyer from Gillespie, Emma Lucas of Roxana, Annie Mattson of Hillsborough, Riley Baker from Southwestern, Mia Ross from Staunton, Lindy Gibbs of Carthenville, Shania Schoonover from Pena, and then two toppers, Tess Sadahoff and Lexi Lusk. Your first team goalie, Braden Lackey of Roxana. So congratulations to all those first team all-conference selections for the South Central Conference. And the South Central Conference really did complete another nice sports season across the board. You think about, obviously, the football with what Carthenville has been doing here for a long period of time. They made another deep postseason run this year. And obviously, when we got into the baseball season, Staunton and Greenville squared off in that Flora sectional semifinal. And David, that ball game, that was wild and woolly, they would say.
Well, they had two teams. Yeah, they had, like you said, they had two teams in the baseball sectional semifinal. And what a year it was.
I haven't seen too many innings in high school like that sixth inning for Staunton. They go in. It's all about situations, as we'll get into a little bit later with the NBA Finals and knowing time and score and situation, which the pro athlete did not know.
You're supposed to know that?
It turns out that's important.
Did something happen this week?
Yeah, it turns out it's important. If you don't know the score, it can really come back and bite you. But
that's never happened in the NBA.
No, never, never. But the ability to play your best in the most pressurized situations with your season on the line. That's exactly what Staunton was able to do in that sectional semifinal against Greenville. They entered the inning down three. Mm-hmm. There was two outs, nobody on base. Nine runs later, they had the lead, three home runs, and they ended up cruising to the victory and got into that sectional final where they just didn't quite have enough to get over the powerful Tatopoulos Wooden Shoes. But we talked about going into the postseason tournaments with Staunton's lineup. They were so deep.
Yep.
Every single hitter, 1 through 9, was hitting over 300. But they had pop and power. It wasn't a matter of just kind of C&I singles finding their way through. Marcus Carl hit a walk-off homer in the regional final. Think about the big three home run explosion in that sixth inning against Greenville.
Regional semifinal. I don't think they walked off in the regional final, was it? Against Hillsborough?
I said semifinal, didn't I?
You said regional final.
I meant semifinal.
Yeah.
You made a trick,
David. You made a mistake.
Smash me down.
You need a button here that just...
Well, that button would get worn out.
Yes, it would.
Eventually, like, the buzzer would just...
Yep.
I need a day off. Tim made another mistake. I need a day off.
As usual.
That's exactly right. But then in the sectional semifinal, obviously the three home runs. Marcus Carl hit a grand slam that capped the whole thing, but the ability to hit for power was a great benefit to Staunton all year long. None more so than that sixth inning against Greenville. But it was just a banner year across the board for the South Central Conference, sport to sport to sport. They really did another nice job. And today's it. The high school sports season is over after today.
How about that? Hard to believe.
That's it. That's all.
That's all. It's so weird too because it's the end of the year, but it's not the end of the year. I mean, it's only the middle of the year.
Well, it's like the fiscal years, you know. It's like right. They like start in like April or March or something.
July. Yeah.
Of course.
Some start in April, some start in July.
Because why wouldn't they start in April or July?
It makes sense.
Yeah, perfect logic there.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
And, of course, every high school game that we broadcast from football season all the way through baseball and softball, we podcast them all for you as well as streaming them at WSMIRadio.com. So any ball game that we did throughout the year, you can find WSMIRadio.com, and they're free, as Terry would say, like a tin roof. It's on the house.
That's right. Absolutely. He's got a few of those sayings.
He's got a lot of sayings. A lot of sayings. And we love them all, and we miss Terry greatly. We can't wait for him to get back. He texted me when I was driving home from Flora after Staunton had lost, and his text said, "Counting down to football Friday."
Yep, it'll be here soon.
It'll be here before we know it.
I can't do it. Terry would know.
Terry would know the math. He always knows how many weeks to go until football Friday once we get into the summer.
Too much pressure. I can't do it that quickly.
Too much pressure. You're like a robot overheating, short circuiting, too much pressure.
I do have a couple score updates for you from Peoria. At Dozier Park, Aurora Christian now leads Valmeyer 3-0. That is in the bottom of the third inning. That's the baseball championship. And then over in softball in East Peoria, Windsor Stewarts and Strasburg has extended their lead to 5-0. They are currently in the bottom of the second inning.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, and only in the bottom of the second. So that could be a short game. We'll see.
We'll see. Hard to win back-to-back championships. That's what Gorville is trying to do today. It's what Beecher will try to do in the 2A softball game. And then in the 2A baseball game, T-Town will also be going for back-to-back state championships.
Yeah.
And they do play the title games back-to-back. And then the third-place games for both 1A and 2A are this afternoon. And I would imagine, I don't know this for certain, but I think they like to have the state games back-to-back just in case weather would become a factor.
No, I think, yeah, there was a tweet on Twitter, of course.
Oh, really?
A tweet on Twitter.
No kidding. Huh.
From the IHSA page that said basically what you were saying. Yeah. Because of weather, we like to have them back-to-back. Yeah. Be prepared to play at 1:30, though.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The games are scheduled to 1, but just be prepared to play at 1:30.
They usually run long.
Yeah, that's right.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back in just a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Who knows what will happen in the NBA Finals? It might wind up turning out just like all the prognosticators have said, and that Cleveland will have no chance, and they're going to lose in three. It could happen. They might just wind up getting waxed the rest of this series. But, David, I know this just from following sports and just, you know, paying attention to the history of sports, which is what really surprised me about all the people saying that Cleveland had no chance.
Mm-hmm.
What did they say about
one of those.
What did they say about the Jets and the Colts in Super Bowl III?
Yeah, I don't know.
The Jets had no chance.
Yeah.
What did they say about the 2011 series between the Phillies and the Cardinals?
See, I seem to remember some people inside baseball saying, out of all the matchups the Phillies could have gotten, that might have been the worst one.
But no one thought the Cardinals were going to beat them.
Yeah.
The Phillies were going to win, and it just really wasn't much of a doubt about it.
Right.
Who gave Cleveland a chance 2 years ago when they were down 3-1 in the finals? It was over. My point is, in sports especially, when people say that, and a pro team, more specifically, when they say a pro team has no chance at all, usually, that team that has no chance winds up making it much more competitive than anybody ever thought it was. And when that team has the best player in the world and the best player of his generation on the squad, to say they have no chance, I just found it baffling to me. And what do you know? LeBron goes out, delivers 51 points on 32 shots, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, and they lose in overtime because J.R. Smith is a buffoon.
Before we get into J.R. Smith, it was the Warriors' first title. There was a lot of talk about if LeBron wins that year, it's the greatest accomplishment in basketball basically anyone's ever had, because he was dragging this team. Because that was the year Kyrie Irving got hurt in game one of the finals, and Kevin Love was already out because he got his shoulder dislocated.
Mm-hmm.
And it was said at the time that was if the Cavaliers were to win that year, it was going to be better than anything Michael Jordan ever did, because Jordan didn't play with the team that bad.
Right.
I wonder if that's the same case this year.
I think it has to be. Yeah.
Kevin
really
Love
do.
Is. I mean, he's not. He didn't play in game one, but
he played in game one.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He had a good night.
Okay. Well. He's there, so I don't know if it's the same situation, but I know the team is still not that good.
I just don't think Kevin Love is viewed the same now as he was a few years ago. And see, they're still professional basketball players. You know, it's not like LeBron has taken like a group of like sophomores in high school and drug them to the finals. These are pro ball players. You know, there's not that many pro NBA ballers.
Well, and George Hill, for his flaws that he's had in this postseason. He was on the Spurs, wasn't he? I mean, he's...
Yeah, but never during their championship years.
Well, still, he played around Pop.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, these guys, they're not all-stars. No one is saying that. But they're still professional basketball players. Now, with that said, they didn't really show up too much in Game 1.
No.
LeBron did what LeBron does. And then, I'm just going to think about this next year when we're doing high school basketball. You can't get mad at a high school kid if he doesn't know the time and score, because for Pete's sake, J.R. Smith did not know the score with 4 seconds to go in an NBA Finals game. Gets an offensive rebound. The putback is right there, and he's trying to say, well, Kevin Durant would have blocked the shot. No, he would not have. And you still have to put it up. And then after the game, even though he was caught on the court saying, I thought we were up one, well, he said after the game, I knew we were tied.
Yeah.
I was just waiting for us to call a timeout. Well, why didn't you call the timeout then, J.R. Smith?
It's moments like that is when Twitter is great.
Oh, that's the beauty of Twitter
that's
right there,
the
yes.
That's when the jokes come out. Like, here's actually one that is just now, I'm just now seeing a J.R. Smith, this is referring to yesterday, last night. J.R. Smith is currently at Oracle Arena sitting on the bench in full uniform, wondering where everyone is and why game two hasn't started yet.
That is, it's going to go down, and J.R. Smith was trying to rewrite the narrative.
Right.
Because he doesn't want history to remember him as the guy who forgot the score in the game where LeBron scored 51 points on the road. He's the reason they lost. He's going to go down. He's right there with Chris Webber in 1993 calling the timeout they did not have.
Yeah.
It is that play and the J.R. Smith play, the two biggest boneheaded championship miscues in the history of sport, most likely. Certainly basketball.
Right.
That is ridiculous.
Well, and there were some who were saying he forgot, well, that he was looking for LeBron at the end of the game, too. Okay, why didn't you pass it to him? Because there actually was a shot of, like, the full court of, basically, while J.R. Smith is, like, he's in the process of dribbling out, LeBron's at the top of the arc wide open.
Right.
And he's looking at him.
You know, when they went to the other end of the floor at the angle, it almost looked like J.R. Smith was sprinting to the other end, like he might have forgot which basket he was supposed to be going towards.
But the look that
LeBron James gave J.R. Smith when there was triple zeros on that fourth quarter clock, you don't want to be on the receiving end of that look.
Kudos to LeBron for not completely throwing him under the bus.
He didn't. He was a good. I mean, he walked out of the press conference because the reporters were trying to bait him into saying that J.R. Smith did not know the score. LeBron didn't do it. And, you know, people can. LeBron's a very polarizing guy. You either love him or you hate him. There doesn't seem to be much in between. A lot of the hate for LeBron is because people dare to say that he might be better than Michael Jordan. A lot of it is because of the televised decision, where, by the way, he raised $1 million for the Boys and Girls Club. $1 million raised for kids. With that decision. Was it kind of tasteless and tacky? A little bit, but he raised $1 million for kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of the LeBron hate I've just never understood. I appreciate greatness while it's there. I like greatness no matter the sport, no matter the player. If you're great, I enjoy watching you play. And so just appreciate the greatness while it's here, whether he's better than Jordan or not. Who cares? It doesn't really matter. The dude is an amazing basketball player, and he almost single-handedly beat what people will say is one of the greatest teams of all time in the Golden State Warriors. And
well,
if it wasn't for J.R. Smith's inability to look at a scoreboard and pay attention and see that the game is tied, they would be up 1-0 right now.
Right. They have to be the greatest team in NBA history not to win a title, right?
Oh, yes.
That 73-win Warriors
Absolutely.
Team. Like, nothing, no team comes to mind.
It's one of the greatest That's choke better. Jobs in American sports. No team had ever blown a 3-1 finals
right.
lead.
Right.
Golden State managed to do it.
But, I mean, in terms of pure talent and like name recognition, I think that's, you could say the 04 Lakers. Who
that was a bad one.
That was a bad one, but, I mean, looking back, we know why. We know what went wrong.
That was like a powder keg there, that situation.
Yes.
Yeah, the Lakers were at the end of their run there. That ended it. Golden right. State was just really, that was just the second year
right.
of their run. People like to think that Golden State's been good for a decade.
Well, and
it's 4 years.
Also, looking back, that Pistons defense was pretty darn good.
You're yeah. exactly right. You think about Chauncey Billups and Tayshaun Prince and Richard Hamilton. That was a good squad.
And no Hall of Famers on that roster.
How about that, huh?
How about that? At least I don't think there are any Hall of Famers. Who knows with the NBA and basketball in general, but I don't believe any Hall of Famers will be going in from that team. Coach notwithstanding.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Just like Cleveland doesn't have any Hall of Famers other than LeBron James. Now, the basketball Hall of Fame is just silly anyway. They might put them all in just because.
Love might get in someday.
He might. But the other big play, other than the J.R. Smith's ridiculousness at the end, is the block charge call that got switched on video review. This is outrageous to me on multiple levels. Whether it was a charge or a block, I do not care. It was called a charge by the lead official who was closest to the play. And they copped themselves out by saying they wanted to look to see if he was in the restricted area when he was multiple feet outside of the restricted area. And it turns out there's an obscure NBA rule that allows them on video review in that situation to overturn and change a judgment call. A judgment call. It was not one of the officials on the floor did not change the call. The replay official, who's an actual NBA official, he'll be on the floor for one of the final games coming up. He determined in a replay booth with slow motion and all these different angles that the call was wrong. They changed a judgment call.
Sounds to me like you're insinuating something, Tim.
I don't like it, David. I don't like it. I mean, the NFL, for all their faults, and they have plenty of them when it comes to their game day management and how they do things, even they know we cannot get into reviewing judgment calls. Replay was not instituted to fix judgment calls. It was fixed to see, oh, that guy stepped out of bounds. Oh, the shot clock expired. Oh, the game clock expired. That is why replay was put in. Not to say, oh, the toughest call in sports, which is the block charge, always bang, bang. Let's start reviewing that. And it's only in the last 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's asinine.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. So LeBron James puts up an all-time worldly performance, and you're going to change a judgment call on replay.
And I can't really contribute anything intelligently to this conversation.
I mean,
I haven't seen the play.
My goodness. I mean, it's ridiculous. And yeah. I heard Steve Jabby, who does the official, the referee analysis on the ABC telecast, I heard him say it the other day. You ask 50 NBA referees if that's a charge or a block. Half of them are going to say charge. Half of them are going to say block. And that seems to be how the block charge always is.
But normally they probably still go with the call on the court.
You go with the call on the court. Terry has always said about replay, and he's not a big fan of the replay, but he says if you're going to have replay, the only angle that matters is that of the official that made the call, because the angle they have, that's what they're basing it on. And the official closest to the play called it a charge.
Right. Well, and they should have, I mean, the replay really, in theory, shouldn't have lasted that long then.
If
they were going to check and see if he was out of the restricted area.
Right.
And if he was out of the restricted area.
That's the rule then. Once they do that, see, they gave themselves an out.
Okay.
They knew he wasn't in the restricted area, but they wanted to see if they knew.
Well, the NFL kind of has that in challenges where if they see something else, I think, not judgment calls.
Not judgment calls.
But like, they, if they see something else, they can.
Right, but the NFL has never, think about this, if the NFL was reviewing whether a ball was a catch. And then when they looked at that, they determined, oh, wait a minute, there was pass interference there. Mm-hmm. And they came out and called the pass interference penalty. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
In the last 2 minutes of a Super Bowl, if they did such a thing.
That'd be bad.
That's essentially what the NBA did. And then to make matters worse for Cleveland, they always issue this last 2 minute report of all the things the officials messed up, which I never understood. Let's just throw our referees right under the bus, back up, run over them again by issuing this report. But it turns out that missed free throw that George Hill had that led to J.R. Smith's all-time blunder should have been redone because Draymond Green committed a lane violation. Oh, my goodness.
Not sure that one would have mattered because George Hill's been terrible at the free throw line.
But he made the first. And when a pro basketball player gets a second chance at the free throw, if it's not Shaq, they usually will make it.
I know, but the number of free throws he's missed this postseason in clutch situations has not been good.
It's fair. But he should have gotten the third free throw and a chance to make it up.
This is true.
And with all that said, there were still 4 seconds left. Golden State would have had the ball at half court, and maybe they'd sink a shot and still win the game. But as it is, the final minute of Game 1 of the NBA Finals was wild and crazy, and we'll see what happens. Game 2 is tomorrow night. I'm telling you, David, if Cleveland wins Game 2 tomorrow night, they're winning the series.
Yeah.
They're winning the series.
Hey, I do want to change subjects just real quick before, since we're running out of time. I completely forgot about this. The Grace Cup is today. The Grace Cup is being held in at RHSA Park, RHSA Field in Raymond, for Grace Herschelman. Girls' game starts at 4, boys' game starts at 6 today, with all the proceeds going towards INAD research.
Okay, so again,
that's at Terry's Field.
That is at Terry's Park, Terry's Field. So 4 o'clock today, get out to the park in Raymond and support the Grace Cup.
That's absolutely.
Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. For David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize. Have a great sporting weekend.